Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast 1000 Years of Beer from the Wein Stefan Brewery, the world's oldest brewery. You might have noticed that it's not Matthias who welcomes you this time. That's because he is on one of his journeys right now when we record this podcast with our technical lead and brewmaster Tobias Zoller. Servus Tobias.
Hello, servus.
Our topic today is a very special one to us because it just is like over the last few years, we had a lot of construction sites here at the brewery, and we thought it was time to take a deeper look into our investments over the last few years. And who would be a better fit than our technical lead Tobias to give us a little bit of insight to that? But before we dive into this topic, I just wanted to let everyone out there know that the brewery Wein Stefan lost a very special member of our family. Tim Lynch, our US country manager, passed away at the end of May. And at this point, we would like to say thank you for all that he's done for us. We have an obituary on our website if you want to check that out. He was a very special person to us, a very open-hearted, kind person. And our brand would not be the same in the US that it is today without him. All his accomplishments are incredible for our brewery. And but he's been an even better person, and that says a lot. And we mourn the passing of him. And yes, we lost a very special person, and I just wanted to let everybody know that he will not be forgotten.
Yeah, true. Not only he put us on a higher level in the United States, he also was a very humble, passionate friend, I would say.
Most definitely.
So part of the Wein Stefan family.
Most definitely. And we were lucky to consider him a friend. And he will be missed dearly. So thank you, Tim, for all you've done. And I hope this will not kill the mood. I'm sorry. But it was very important for us to get this out there just to put an emphasis on how important he was to us. So... But now let's dive into the topic. Let's make a hard cut here and dive into the topic. Tobias, you're here as technical lead, not as a brewmaster today. I think the perfect start would be to explain what is your job as a technical lead here at the Wein Stefan Brewery.
Okay, it's not two different jobs. So they are very close linked together, of course. But it's more than just brewing, more or less. So I'm head of the technical department. So all the brewmasters and all the maintenance staff and all the brewers and all of them are in this department. And as the technical lead, I also have one of my big jobs is to plan the brewery. So not only the staff, also how to build up for the next years or for the next challenges we have to. We have upfront, so that's why we also always consider how we can go on if the market changes or something.
Basically, what to do next and to set up the brewery for the future.
Yeah,
basically.
True.
How many people work in the technical department?
In total, it's around about 80 people.
And so basically around half of everybody in the brewery?
More or less, yes.
Okay, so... It's quite a big team here, and over the last years we grew a little bit with additional brewmasters to handle all the organization that is going on. You guys are a team of five brewmasters, right?
One, two, three, four, five brewmasters, six brewmasters now.
Oh,
one is also joined us last fall in the planning department.
Ah, there you go. Okay,
together with our colleague Laura.
Oh, there you go. So it's six brewmasters overseeing the brewery with you at the top of it. You already mentioned that part of your job now as a technical lead is also planning the brewery, setting it up for the foreseeable future. How does that work? Do you just sit down with the other department leads? Do you sit down with our director, with our sales team, with our marketing team, and just, we have to do this, we have to build that? Or is it a process with everybody involved?
Basically, you have to talk with everybody, of course. But I think the first input is always from the market or the customers. So, for example, the last few years, the wheat beer, what we are famous for and what we are doing the most still, is decreasing, unfortunately, especially in Europe or very special in Germany. So we don't lose something in the market, but competitors do. Lager beers are growing fast here. So that's why we said, okay, we can do lagers. We are also well known for our lager beers, our Helles or the original. But we have to set up the brewery to be more flexible to fulfill the higher demand for that. So that's basically the first input always comes from the market or the customers. And then, of course, we have to sit together, I with my boss especially, but also when we are on the top manager meeting, discuss, so have the input from the sales guys, from the logistics and all this stuff.
And it always comes with different requirements. I mean, you already mentioned the transition to bottom fermented beers is also kind of the transition we did as a brewery over the last few years. We, like you mentioned, we are famous for our Hefeweiss beer, of course, but the bottom fermented part grew over the last few years. It's not a development that just happened overnight. It just came from, you know, the consumer, basically. And we as a brewery, we developed more and more our bottom fermented beers. We got the new Helles in 2020, which makes now for a big part of our portfolio, basically. And that transition from being a specialist brewery to a whole portfolio brewery was something that we did over the last few years. And right now we're still on the Hefeweiss beer side, of course, but the difference is not that big anymore. So that was the basic, that was the basis for all the changes we made. As we can see now here in Weihenstephan, it's not easy to plan things because we're a brewery that came from a lot of history and we're kind of limited, right? So just take us through that a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. So as you said, we launched the Helles in 2020 and we launched it in, 0.5 bottle, special bottle, famous for or important for German market. It's called Euro bottle. But we also have it in a small bottle now. We have it in cans for the United States. We have it in barrels. So, and it grew. So we started in Germany and now it's, as I said, in United States or the countries around Germany in the returnable bottles. So that's why it's growing and growing, which is perfect. That's great. But we have to fulfill the demand anyway. And just to explain a little bit, bottom fermented beers are fermented on a lower temperature. So more or less, to say it easy, it's double the time, production time, than top fermented beers. So double time means I need double tanks, or if I don't have double tanks, I can brew half of the amount. So, and half of the amount brewing was not an option. That's why we said, okay, we need some tanks, we need some other setup in the brewery to fulfill the demand and to make the transition to be flexible for the future. And as I said, we are not a greenfield brewery with space around, so we are here on the Weihenstephan Hill since almost 1,000 years in an old monastery. So inside the hill, the brewing and fermenting section, and on top of the hill, the brew house and everything. So we are very limited. So we have to search spaces and then we have to consider how to make it as flexible as possible. So for that, we started since, I don't know, at least 2018 when we had the last cellar. We made the tanks multi-flexible to either brew wheat beer or store the lager beers.
So basically restructuring the brewery is what's important, because there's not enough space to build a lot of new stuff. You have to work with what you have, basically. But when some space opens up, like a few years ago, there was a starting point to it, and that was the our new logistics center. Because for everybody that doesn't know, all the logistics was handled here at the brewery, and it was chaos. I still don't know how our logistics guys were able to manage it.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows that. If you want to find out more about that, there's a logistics episode with our logistics boss, Mark Bücher. Just check it out if you want to find out more about that. But let me tell you this real quick. It was pure chaos here at the Hill. Trucks were lining up all through the town, basically, to come to us and pick up their beer. It was insanity. So back in 2017, I think it was, we started building the logistics center. And it was long overdue, but it opened up space here at the brewery. So maybe let's just dive into that a little bit, because you just said we're not a greenfield brewery, which makes sense because we grew over the years, over centuries. But now you had some space here to work with, right?
Yeah, true. Or we had at that time. Because we grew, or we are still growing, which is great, but we have to handle these challenges as well. So we launched new products, we grew in volume, and that's why the space was not limited, it was over the capacity. So that was one big decision for this logistics center or the warehouse, external warehouse, so it's still belongs to our brewery, it's in the same city, it's just near the highway, and we just have the... there we have more space and we can handle that better and faster to supply the trucks or the containers for the overseas shipment. And that made some space here at the brewery. So we just have a shuttle truck coming up the hill with the returnable bottles, the empty bottles, and brings all the finished goods down to the warehouse. So we have less traffic, and we had space here for example, for a repacking plant. So where we put our export bottles, the one-way bottles, into six-packs and cartons, and we can do it on our own. It was, former days, it was external handled, third-party handled, but now we are too big. So it's easier, faster, more flexible efficient. And efficient, and at the end of the day, also cheaper. To do it on our own. So that's why the decision was to make that.
Yeah. So now all the changes that we made with all the freed up space, we will circle back to that later on when we go through the chronological order. But just to give you a hint of how many space or how much space we've freed up here. So we built a new dealcoholization plant. We built a new filtration. We had the repackaging a plant, and it's all located here where the old logistics were here at the Hill. And this is all part of a big plan, basically. And and we built a control room to handle all that, right? So this is the cornerstone, basically.
So we brought more plants down to the area where the logistic has been here on the Hill. And in the middle of that, more or less, is a central control room for the brewers, so where they can handle everything, overview the brewery from the process control system, also from the MAS system, also from the normal office system. They have a small lab inside, and they also have a small room for breakfast,
which is very important, of course.
Which is very important.
But yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, right now back in the day, we didn't have the oversight from down there where everything was. We did have a small office right at the KEK station, but we did not have a big control room where everything could be handled from one place. And this
is easier for a communication.
Most definitely.
And it's less ways to walk. So more thinking and communicate.
So
less running through the brewery up and down the hill.
Of course.
So it's more efficient for also for the brewers.
So this is something that you mentioned when we talked about the podcast episode today, cleaning up the brewery.
Yeah, true.
I think that summarizes pretty good, because that is just something that that could be the headline of our all our constructions, basically, here.
Cleaning in terms of bringing in efficiency. Because it is, it wasn't made wrong in the past. Don't get me wrong, but it was it was growing.
Yeah.
So over the years, so okay, we need more of that beer. We need more here. We have no space because there's logistics. So let's build this plant here, even if you know it's not the best place, but it's the only place we have. And then we have a lot of pipes through the brewery up and down the hill. And sometimes some beers, like for example, unfortunately also our main brand wheat beer is going down the hill, going up the hill, going down the hill into pipes and from left to right. And that's not efficient. And that's not good for the beer quality at the end of the day. So now it's more structured.
Yeah.
So brewers on top of the hill, fermenting area in the middle of the hill, and down the hill is filtration, separation, bright beer tanks, and filling.
Just to give you an idea of what that means, there's the new storage cellar that we built, or we're building right now, is about 5 meters from the keg filling plant and about 100 meters from the bottle filling plant. So this is something that is very important for you to understand, that there's way, way, way shorter ways. We don't have to go from the top of the hill now to the bottom of the hill, because everything takes place right next to each other.
Yeah, and if you push the beer through the whole brewery, you need a lot of water to push it, and you need a lot of cleaning time. So this is also time is waste, to lose time. And also for economics, it's better to use less water, have more efficient plants, use less electricity, less chemicals, everything. Definitely. So it's also we are also looking on the environmental, and we have a certificate for that. And that's why we take a big, importance in that.
Yeah.
And this also... perfect for the economy, perfect for the brewers, and also perfect for our wallet at the end of the day.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we're still talking about a company, and we're still talking about making money, of course. So efficiency is almost always equal to we save money. So every investment at the end of the day pays off, basically, and whether it be on the financial side or on the environmental side. So we're always checking that... We have to have advantages out of that. So we did have a lot of big projects over the last few years. How do you tackle these big projects? So from planning to building.
We have to say, first thing is we have a plan or a philosophy of brewing, or of what is the quality of our beer, what makes a Weinstephan beer a Weinstephan beer. So customer relies on the quality and expects the same taste. So we want to preserve this taste in a special way. So efficiency stops where you cut the quality, and quality is always first, always. So to have the same quality in the future for different beers, or even better quality, that's why we have to, there's just a few systems left, more or less, which are good for us. So that's why we look for systems which are suitable for us. And we also have to consider how the rest of the brewery, from batch sizes, for example. So in the brewers, we have a batch size of 300 hectoliters cold wort per brew. So that's why I need fermentation tanks with a capacity of 1,000 hectoliters, so we can ferment 2 brews, or we can also store 3 brews in this tank. Then we have a filtration system, which... can filter 2 tanks per day. And then I also need BBTs with also each 1,000 hectoliters at least. So 1,040 hectoliters we have, of course. But that's important to have the plan and push it the efficient way through the brewery. And then we have to make tenders, of course, from the different suppliers. We also, so that's the big advantage of brewers. So we are not fighting like sometimes sales guys have to, but we are brewers, and we all have the same in common. So we love beer, and we know each other, and it's a good community in the brewing world. So we know a lot of other brewers, and I know, okay, they have maybe this or that system, and I call them, or sometimes they call me, and say, okay, we are planning an investment. Can we check out your plant? Can we ask you, are you satisfied? Would you do something else? Or are there advantages or disadvantages? And that helps a lot because the suppliers, of course, they're sales guys. They tell you everything and promise you everything. Most of them keep their promises, of course. But it's always better to talk with colleagues and see it in life than in just on a plan.
I mean, of course, it's always that on paper everything looks good, but if you have the experience, you have to see it for yourself. And you know, like we said before, people keep in mind that we're working with limited space here. We can't just take the best machine that there is and just put it in our system, because that just doesn't work. We have to find the best system suitable for our existing system. And that is something that's going to be very difficult, because limited space, historical site, operating system that the new machine or the new plant needs to be implemented in. So all these things you have to take into consideration, and the more you know, the more you see, the more you experience in other breweries, the more you can check out, the better, basically. I believe for our dealcoholization plant, you guys were up north at Störtebeker, right? So shout out to our friends from Störtebeker at this point.
Cool guys.
All right, now we know from planning to building, basically. I mean, after that, it's all tenders, offers, shake hands, basically, a normal process. But now there's also different technologies. You said philosophy-based, of course. Is there anything like you just go to a trade fair, basically, and walk around and look at stuff, or do you already know about all that kind of things?
Of course we do that. Because this is where the newest technology and the newest equipment is presented. So that's why, of course, we do that. So this maybe I have to start and tell you, so what is the time frame of that? So it's not within 3 months. So we more or less talk about 2 years.
Yeah.
Or from consideration or thinking about or bringing in some information, going to a fair like Brau Biviale, and check out what is new, and then we go when we say okay, let's start this project. From that point, it's also at least 1 year, depends on the system. So like a new cellar takes more than a year, because also a lot of construction work. Also, bringing in just a new plant, like a filter system or a dealcoholization plant, can be faster, but it's at least 1 year. So then we have to, when we know in which direction we go, then we ask the right suppliers, then we visit some colleagues, talk with them, and then we negotiate and shake hands, as you said, and start this project. And then they have to construct it anyway at their plant until a special or specific place or, I don't know, stage. And then they bring it to the brewery and do the final construction work or connect it to the rest of the brewery.
So as an example, we had when we, for our new storage cellar, we had all the tanks being lifted in by cranes. Mm-hmm. So they came ready, basically, and they had to lift it in. And that was an exceptional sight, because it was, all the two crane drivers that handled that, I think they had nerves of steel. Because we were just watching it and shaking, basically, and they were almost bored in their crane in their cranes, and just let's push it in.
That's crazy. This tanks, they are 20 meters high and 6 meters wide, and I don't know how heavy and
incredible
1,040 hectoliters inside, and they're flying over your head into the new storage cellar. So this is also something you don't see that often in your career.
That was amazing.
Some of my colleagues, I think they had never seen in their career. Yeah. And that's the whole brewery, more or less, was here for this event. It was a Friday morning, and a lot of guys from sales or accounting and even no brewers.
Yeah.
But when Stefanas came down the hill and watched that, because this is special, this is not usual.
And it's not something that happens every day. I mean, all these constructions we did over the last few years are to set up the brewery for the foreseeable future. This is not an everyday business for us. I mean, this is we're still a mid-sized brewery, and it's if something like that happens and it's a couple million euros project, this is out of the ordinary for us. This is something special. So it's very important to us that you understand that it's not normal for a brewery to make these investments, especially in this these times, basically after COVID,
that's true.
With all the wars that are going on. It's not normal for a brewery to make these investments, but we are in a lucky position to be able to do that kind of stuff. And right now we're on a very, very good way to finish our constructions for the future, and hopefully for the next 20 to 30 years. But yeah, so let's take another dive into the chronological order of the things we constructed over the last few years. We talked about the logistics center. There's a special episode about that, so we're not going to take a deeper dive into that. And the first thing that came after that was the packaging plant, right?
Yeah, but because the logistics center, that was the turning point. So that that brought a lot of new opportunities. So then we had, as you said, a lot of space here. And we put something, brought it back from third party into the brewery. So logistic was away, and then we implemented, it was beginning of 2019. We had our repacking plant. Beginning of 2020, we got the new de-alcoholization, also in the space where logistic has been. 2021, we got the filtration system. Yeah, 21, 22, this year. And at the moment, we are building a new big cellar, so beer tank cellar. But this is also, I think this is more or less the last space we had free in the brewery. And that's why we thought long time how to do it and how to be as really, really as flexible as possible. And we built a building at once, and now we have space for 24 tanks. And as you said, it's a big investment. So at the moment, we have half of them, or 11 tanks.
So it's stage one, basically.
Stage one, true.
Yeah.
But we can react faster and flexible in the future if the demand will increase or the market changes, or I don't know what happens in the next 5 years. When I look back the last 5 years, it's not only the market, also what last 5 years we had COVID, we had two wars, we had so you cannot say what happens in the future. Yeah. That's why it's more important to be flexible.
We call it the combi cellar.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because we have tanks, CCTs, cylindrical tanks, and they are multi-flexible. So we can ferment beer, we can store beer, and we can store our bright beer. So we have like bright beer tanks. They have all three functions, all of the tanks. And that makes it as flexible as possible.
And like you said, 12 tanks are already in there. When do we start? Because it's under construction, but we're on the final steps, right?
Yeah, true. If everything works well the next few weeks, then we can finally officially open that in July. But we are constructing here at the site since last fall. And since the beginning of 2023, the construction was in running. So it's over a year now, 1.5 years. Just constructing without planning and without
of course,
looking in front, which system and how and everything.
And just to give you an idea at home, what the problem was. I mean, we mentioned earlier that the demand for bottom fermented beers is higher now, and you have to store bottom fermented beers longer, and we needed some extra capacity. But, you know, if you think about it, we always want to maintain the highest quality we have because people want to have the same Weinstephan taste every time and everywhere in the world. So the other option to get more capacity was to reduce storage times, which wasn't exactly an option for us because that comes along with, well, worse quality than before. So what we thought was the only solution, or basically it was the only solution, not what we thought, but it was the only solution, is to build new tanks to have more capacity for our beers and to maintain the same level of quality while simultaneously getting a higher volume out of it. And that was the reason why we decided on building the new tanks. So once we are, let's say demand increases for another a few years, and we have to build the other 12 tanks too. How many hectoliters can we make per year then? What is the capacity of the brewery after everything's built there?
At the moment, we are around about 450,000 hectoliters, but with this cellar, first step, we can go up to 600,000 hectoliter. Mm-hmm. So I think with the last step, even more. But it's only from the cellar side. So we also have to pimp the brewers to get higher than 600,000.
Yeah.
But with this step, we can handle 600,000 without any problem.
Okay.
But I just have to say, our main goal is not to increase volume.
Right.
Our main goal is to have the best beer. Best beer is also, I don't know how to explain this. The point of view, what is the best beer?
Of course.
But we want to have the best beer, what our customer expect from our quality.
Yeah.
That's why we don't want to cut the quality or the storage time, because we are expert brewery, and we want to preserve the taste. Also, when it goes over the whole globe to Australia or United States, so it should be the same taste and the same quality. And also at the end of the PBD. And that's why we need the storage time. That's why we need this new equipment to produce with as less oxygen as possible to have this long quality preserving in the beer. And so our goal is not to have the highest volume. Our goal is to have this quality, the customer, and maybe it's, I don't know if it's a unique selling point, but it's one of our success, I think is the quality, and at the end of the day, the people or the customers are willing to pay more because they know what they get, and this is better, and I think it's more sustainable for the brewery.
Most definitely. I mean, it's something we take a lot of pride in, just to know that anywhere you have a Weihenstephaner beer in the world, it usually tastes the same as if you drink it here at the Weihenstephan Hill.
Yeah, true, and special. So if we can increase the volume very fast by cutting the lager time, for example.
Yeah.
But I think then we are more exchangeable. And that's what I think is not the sustainable way for the brewery.
Yeah.
So that's by keep on quality. Quality is always first.
Yeah.
And keep your customers and gain new customers.
Yeah.
Not volume-wise, but quality-wise and price-wise.
Oh, definitely, and that's something we work towards. It's something that our export team, for example, or our national sales team, of course, too, that they put an emphasis on, just to let everybody know we are not working towards higher volume and faster and more automated and stuff like that. We work towards highest quality, and that's not only valid for the beer, that's also valid for the people who work here. We want the people to feel the Weihenstephan DNA, basically. And
we want to have the people still working with the beer.
Right.
So we have, of course, efficiency means more automatization, but it's still semi-automatized because we have brewers. We don't have just helpers from the street. So with stupid, I don't know, just bring that from place A to place B. So the people are here. So the brewer job here, of course, changes. So it's not that hard working as in former days. It's more thinking and overview and
it just changes
control and everything. Yeah. But then it's even more important that you have very skilled people and skilled brewers. And we are proud that we have them. So they're doing a great job every day, and they also handle the old part of the brewery and the highest newest standard of equipment of the brewery. So we're happy to have these brewers.
I think the headline could be "We're a brewery, not a beer factory."
Basically. Yeah, that's true. That's what I always say. Yeah.
So let's take a short look into the future. We mentioned earlier that there's a big plan. I can see it on your wall here that there are some plans. There's also something that says master plan. I don't see the future on the master plan, to be fair, but
that's secret.
But give us a little bit of insight what's to come in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, we want to be, as I said, as flexible as possible and for the future and for the challenges of the market. And we want to have the newest equipment and to be sustainable this way, the best educated brewers. And so we are more or less at the end of this conversation. So we talked about all the investments in the past or ongoing investments. So the last bigger projects are, for example, a new keg filling line, so a barrel filling line, or pimping up the bottle filling line from the side to handle the empty bottles better for this way and to be more efficient for the future, more flexible, because it's going into to more SKUs for more countries and smaller sizes, more different labels. So the complexity is going higher and higher. So then that's why we have to be flexible. And we invest in that from the equipment side and also in the education of the brewers, because if it's getting more complex and you have to be more flexible, then you need to have skilled brewers.
Yeah, of course. But compared to what we built over the last few years, these are minor changes construction-wise.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're not talking multi-year constructions. We're talking about a couple of weeks, couple of months that takes stuff like that to do. So from planning to building, basically. But you can't do everything at once. I mean, that's the thing. You have to plan ahead and you can't do everything at once. But, you know, as you might have gotten an idea now, the brewery is set up for the future. So on the technical side, we're basically, aside from these small changes that are still to come, we're basically done for the next few years. Mm-hmm. If nothing comes up, let's hope.
You never know.
You never know what the market wants. But I think we're set up and it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah.
Just to see how everything turns out.
It's very interesting. Of course, it's a lot of work.
Oh yeah,
and a lot of challenges, but that makes this job special, and that's what keeps us going to the brewery every morning very happy, because it's so fun and it's just ongoing. Of course, there are challenges and problems sometimes, but these are the good problems.
Yeah, and it spices up the life. So
that's true.
So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I hope you guys at home got an idea of what Tobias' job as a technical lead is, not only the brewmaster, not only in contact with beer every day, but also all the technical investments, the development of the brewery, the staff, of course. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, shoot us a text at podcast@weinstefana.de or through one of our social media channels. And yeah, let us know. What do you want to know?
And I would be happy to see some of you also in the future in the brewery, because you can visit the brewery. Just check out our website. And the new cellar we built, for example, this is not an official tap room, but we have some things inside and some also for artwork, more or less, and some space to look. So it's also not only a technical cellar, so it looks really cool and it will be really, really cool. I don't want to reveal too much, but you can book a tour, and in the future you can visit also this new cellar and have a look at what we are doing there.
So you guys know what to do. The cellar won't be open to public until probably summer. So if you book a tour beforehand, you're not going to see the new cellar, of course, just to give you an idea. But later this year might be the case.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, and we'll hear from you next month. Bye-bye. Bye.